Well, good morning, everybody. Glad to see you all this morning. And for those who might be tuning in with us, we're glad to have you as well. We are going to break from my normal time that I adhere to this morning, and we're going to pray first. Normally I read and then we pray, but I've kind of had a whirlwind of a morning, and we need all the help we can get to make it through this morning. So let's ask the Lord to bless our time, and then we'll join together in the book of Genesis yet again. Our Father, this morning we are grateful for the opportunity to come and to read from your word. Father, we thank you that you've seen fit to record it for us, that we can have it for encouragement. We can have it for correction. Father, we can have it to build our faith. We can have it for our understanding. We thank you, Lord, that everything about this book points us to the one that we've sang about already this morning, the one who humbly came as a babe born there in the city of Bethlehem, who grew up as a perfect man, the God-man, the lovely Lord Jesus, who died for our sins and is now risen and there in heaven with you, awaiting the time to come and gather his own together so that we might be with him as well. We thank you for him. We would ask your blessing as we would look, that your spirit would guide and help us through your word today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I mentioned, just before our little time of prayer there, back to Genesis chapter 17. This morning, we're continuing to talk about our friend Abraham, our good buddy Abram, who you might remember the last time we looked into the book, had his name changed to Abraham, father of nations, father of a multitude. Now he is. And he has, you might remember, a single son, a young man named Ishmael, who was born to him back in chapter 16 through his wife Sarai's servant Hagar, a young Egyptian girl who was in service to his wife Sarai. And you might remember that Sarai dealt very harshly with Hagar because Hagar saw that she was expecting a child, and Sarai was not. Sarai was barren. And Sarai told Abraham, said, "The Lord's going to judge between what's been done here." And Abraham tells her, "Well, you do what you want to do." So she runs Hagar off, and Hagar goes out into the wilderness, and she's met by this one who we read about in chapter 16 was the angel of the Lord. And through the context of the text, we discerned that that was actually a pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ there. Well, in chapter 17, the Lord God himself repeated to Abraham this covenant, this promise, an everlasting covenant that God is with Abraham and is going to make Abraham very prosperous. As a matter of fact, all the nations of the earth were going to be blessed through Abraham. And God repeated that to him again. And at the end of chapter 17, that covenant, which was back in a previous chapter confirmed through a vision, was now confirmed through a physical sign, the sign of circumcision that was given to the Hebrew men, to the nation of the Jews, both the freeborn in Abraham's home and his servants as well. And lastly, we discovered a new name for God in the book of Genesis. God Almighty, we read there at the beginning of chapter 17. Hebrew would be El Shaddai. So this morning, we have a little bit of a lengthy reading for us. We want to finish out chapter 17, and we want to read the entirety of chapter 18 together. So if we could join in on that, we're going to cut into chapter 17 at verse 15. That's where we left off last time, and read through chapter 18 together. So let's see what Moses has recorded for us here. Beginning in verse 15 of chapter 17 in the book of Genesis, "And God said to Abraham, 'As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her.' Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, 'Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?' And Abraham said to God, 'Oh, that Ishmael might live before you.' And God said, 'No, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you, Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and multiply him greatly. And he shall father 12 princes, and I will make him into a great nation. But, verse 21 tells us, I will establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year. And when he had finished talking with him, God went up from Abraham. Then Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all those born in his house are bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house. And he circumcised the flesh of their foreskins that very day, as God had said to him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. That very day, Abraham and his son Ishmael were circumcised, all the men of his house, those born in the house, and those bought with money from a foreigner were circumcised with him. And very quickly, chapter 18 begins, and the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat in the door of his tent in the heat of the day. So not much time is passing here. Pretty quickly, the Lord comes right back to our friend Abram. In verse 2 of chapter 18, he, being Abram, lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth. And he said, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, while I bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh yourselves. And after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant. So they said, Do as you have said. And Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, Quick, three seelahs, or three measures, you may read there in your scripture, of fine flour. Knead it and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. And they said to him, Where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, She is in the tent. The Lord said, and you might notice that's capital L-O-R-D, Abraham again speaking directly to Jehovah God. The Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, After I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? And the Lord said to Abraham, Why did Sarah laugh and say, Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he, speaking of the Lord, said, No, but you did laugh. The men set out from there, and they looked down towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to set them on their way. The Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I have chosen him that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring Abraham what he has promised him. Then the Lord said, Because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great and their sin is very grave, I will go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me, and if not, I will know. So the men turned from there and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you sweep away the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to put the righteous to death with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just? And the Lord said, If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will spare the whole place for their sake. And Abraham answered and said, Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord, who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for the lack of 5? The Lord said, I will not destroy it for 45. or if I find 45 there. Again, in verse 29, Abram spoke to him and said, suppose 40 are found there. And he answered, for the sake of 40, I will not do it. Then he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 are found there. And he answered, I will not do it if I find 30. And he said, behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord. Suppose that 20 are found there. And he answered, for the sake of 20, I will not destroy it. Then Abraham said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak again, but this once. Suppose 10 are found there. The Lord answered, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. And the Lord went his way when he had finished speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. Spoiler alert, he's not going to find 10. We'll read about that very, very shortly. So it's been some 25 years by the time that we're reading what we read today and what we read last week, or last time I had the opportunity to speak. It's been some 25 years since God promised Abraham that I'm going to make you into a great nation. And as we see repeated here in our chapter that we read today, that all of the nations of the earth are going to be blessed through Abraham. So here's Abraham, 99 years old. He's got one son, a young man by the name of Ishmael that we've already mentioned this morning. And the Lord is making it very clear that Ishmael is not the son of the promise, that there's a promise. Abraham's going to be great, but it's not going to be through Ishmael. Now, there are many around the world who will disagree with that, but the Scripture is very plain. We're not wanting to be political. We're not wanting to take any side other than the side of the Word of God. And the Word of God tells us very clearly that it's through Isaac that the promises were going to come. We read that today. It's pretty interesting here as we picked up in the middle of chapter 17 that God had said to Abraham, Sarah, her name is now going to be Sarah. As expectant parents, you spend a little bit of time worried about what you're going to name the kid, right? We went through several names at our house trying to come up with what we wanted to name children, and we settled on three that we like. I don't know how much other people like them a whole lot, but we settled on three that we like. But in what we have read, have you noticed that it's God who has named Abraham's children? He spent his time changing the name of the parents and not worried about the names of the children, because there was a job for the parents to do. They had to raise this young man the way the Lord wanted him to be raised. So now we have Sarah today. And you might notice that pretty quickly in verse 17 that Abraham, he laughs, right? And that's the title of our message today, laughter, laughing out loud. And laughter's good for us, isn't it not? I do a lot of laughing for various reasons and in different situations. You find yourself laughing, don't you? We all do, because it makes us feel a little better. I remember back at my parents' funeral, amidst all the things that were going on, all the sadness of the day and all the stress and all the worry of trying to get things accomplished and tend to everybody, we found ourselves laughing. And it was good for us to do that. People would come up and tell funny stories about my parents, or not necessarily funny stories, but stories that would recount how my parents touched their lives and how that they helped them. And it was a nice relief from the emotions of the day to be able to laugh, excuse me, to be able to smile some in those stressful situations. I tend to laugh a lot when I'm nervous. I make jokes. You have noticed that. As I have the privilege of speaking and I get nervous, I will try to make some type of a joke because it helps me to relieve my nerves a little bit. Now, it's an attempt, right? Not everybody finds them funny, but it's me trying to relieve my own nerves just a little bit. Well, here, Abraham laughs. God says to Abraham, he says, hey, in a year's time, Sarah's going to have a kid. And Abraham sort of chuckles about it. Let me suggest something to you. I don't think this is the laughter of unbelief. I think it's a different type of laughter. Have you ever been in a situation where that something makes you incredibly happy and the response you have is to laugh about it? Just this summer, Laura planned a just fantastic trip for our family down to Florida. We went to go down to Orlando to pick up Piper. She had been at the Orlando Ballet for what I thought was entirely too long of a period of time, but we went to pick her up. And while we were there, we spent a few days just as a family. We took a whole little week. We met Uncle Lynn and Aunt Bonnie, and we had a lot of good fun with them. But we took the children over to Universal. We took them to Disney. We got to go to the Kennedy Space Center. It was just a really great trip that Laura planned. And I caught myself watching the children. I caught myself watching Piper dance, watching Haddon at the Kennedy Space Center, watching Prescott as we went through Universal. And their faces were just lit up. They were just beaming. They were so happy. And I would just laugh out loud because it made me happy to see them acting that way. I think that's what Abraham's doing. I'd like to suggest that to you. Hold your finger here in Genesis chapter 18 and look with me at a couple places that you probably have heard several times before. The first one over in John chapter 8. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 8, the Lord Jesus is talking with some of the Jewish leaders of the day there. And he's talking about being a slave to sin. And he tells them, he says, you know, well, if you're with me, you're free. And they huff and they puff. We've never been a slave to anybody. And we can look back at their history and see the times that the Jewish people were enslaved. But in John chapter 8 and verse 56, listen to what the Lord Jesus says. These are his words. In John chapter 8 and verse 56, the Lord Jesus says, your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. And then a few books over in Romans chapter 4, the Apostle Paul writing to the Romans. In Romans chapter 4, we read this about our friend Abraham in verses 19 through 21 of Romans chapter 4. The Apostle Paul says this. He, speaking of Abraham, did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. And so now back to our little section here in the book of Genesis. I would like to suggest to you this morning that I think that's why Abraham laughed. Not that he laughed because it was impossible. Not that he laughed to be sarcastic about it. But I think he rejoiced to know that a day was coming in which Sarah would have a child. But being a person, being a man, Abraham presents Ishmael to God. Right? He says, well, what about my son Ishmael? May he live before you. And God says to him, he says, no. No. Rather, it's going to come from a promised son, a young man that you're going to name Isaac. Now, Ishmael, God said, I've heard you and your prayers for him, and he will be a very prosperous man. He will have 12 sons of his own, and he will be a great nation. But the promise, the everlasting covenant that I'm establishing with you will come from the young man Isaac. And just if you're curious, we know that names in the Bible have specific meanings, and we know that those meanings are significant. And just for general knowledge, in case you weren't already aware, Isaac means laughter. You're going to chuckle about it. Let me tell you what you're going to name this kid. You're going to name him Laughter, and I'm going to make my promise through him. So God leaves. And you'll notice here in verse 22 of Genesis 17, when he had finished talking with him, God went up from Abraham. Then Abraham took Ishmael. There was no delay in Abraham doing what he had been instructed to do in what is the first half of Genesis chapter 17. He took the men of his household and he circumcised them that very day. There was no delay. You see, we had already read back in a previous chapter, that Abraham believed God and God counted it to him as righteousness. Well, what do you do if you believe something? For example, on Friday, I took Laura to work. Friday, the streets in Montgomery were going to be closed down. Parade was coming through and whatnot. And Laura said, hey, would you take me into work so I don't have to worry about parking the car on a street that's closed and I don't have to worry about parking far away and walking into work and whatnot? I said, sure, no problem. I didn't have a school to be in on Friday. We'll do that. So Laura says, oh, and by the way, I get off at 3 o'clock. Well, guess where I was at 3 o'clock? It was right back at the state capitol. because I believed what Laura told me and I acted upon what I believed. And so did Abraham. Abraham believed God, and in proof of that belief, he acted on it. He went and did what God had required of him. Well, then very quickly after all of that transpires, chapter 18 opens and God is coming right back to our friend Abraham. Abraham's hanging out by the tent in the heat of the day, it tells us, and he looks up and three men are coming toward him. Now, very clearly, as you saw when we read through the text, we see the word Lord in all capital letters. This one talking to Abraham was God, come there in the form of a man. The other two, we believe, were angels that were with him that day. But he comes, and we'll see here that Abraham is very hospitable. The writer of Hebrews tells us over in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2, he says, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware." So Abraham had the Lord himself and a couple angels come by, and Abraham makes a big deal out of this. He says, come sit. You've chosen to come here to your servant. Come and sit and let me fix you a little something to eat. And he bows himself before the Lord. Notice how fast this happened. Verse 2 says, he lifted up his eyes. Behold, there were three men standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth. And he said, "O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant." How did Abraham know that was the Lord? Could it be because of all the things that we read previously that Abraham was spending time with the Lord? He recognized him. He knew who he was. And you know that in your own homes. We know that at our house. If the kids are coming across the house, we know exactly which one is coming. If it's Prescott, the feet are kind of shuffling a little bit, and he's probably singing as he comes through. If it's Piper, the whole cadence is different, because bless her heart, she dances everywhere she goes. If it's Haddon, he's in a full sprint, the door flies open, and he jumps from the door to the bed. That's just the way it works. We know the children as they come to the house because we spend time with them. If you spend time with the Lord, if you're reading His Word, if you're spending time in prayer, when He tells you things, even though in this day and age He doesn't physically come to us like He did Abraham, He still speaks to us through His Word, through that small, still voice that we hear. If you're spending time with Him, if you know Him, you'll recognize Him too. And you'll know what He has in store for you. You'll know the plans that He has. So Abraham says, y'all just sit down real quick and let me get, notice what he says right here in verse number 5. I will bring a morsel of bread. You've been in those homes, haven't you? Just have a little bite to eat. Let me make you just a little something. And they say, well, that's very kind of you. Okay, we'll do that. And the next thing you know, he's got Sarah making three different cakes of flour for the men. He's gone out and killed a calf and had a young man prepare. He's got a full three-course meal in front of them that they couldn't possibly have eaten in five or six sittings. You know, just going to get a little mouthful of food for them there, showing great hospitality to them. So notice what the Lord does. In verse number 9, he's going to again address this promise that he has for Abraham, this covenant that he's making with him. And notice what he says. So where is Sarah, your wife? Now, you may remember when Ishmael was born to Hagar and Abraham. We had talked about it was a custom of the day if there was a woman of the house who could not bear children, she would give her husband a servant girl in marriage. And they would have a child together, and the lady of the house would raise that child as her own. Even though it was born to the servant girl, would be treated as if it were born to the lady of the house. She would raise the child as her own. It would be well taken care of, even though it was born to the servant girl. But they were given in marriage to each other. Well, we talked about how that was man's plan, right? That was Sarah and Abraham not waiting on the Lord. That's what they wanted to do. Notice how the Lord addressed this situation. Where is Sarah, your wife? Doesn't say, where is Sarah, one of your wives? Doesn't say, where is Sarah, your first wife, or anything of that nature. Where is Sarah, your wife. It's always been God's plan. He recognizes one man, one woman, as a husband and wife. His plan. And that's why we refer to Ishmael as the son of the flesh, the one who came as a result of a plan that the two made together in their own accord. Isaac is referred to as the son of the promise. He's the one that came according to God's will and God's way. So God says about this time next year, Sarah's going to have a son. And Moses steps back for just a second in verse 11 of chapter 18, and he reminds us what we already know, that Abraham is an old man, and Sarah is well past the age of being able to bear children, just to remind us of what's going on here. So Sarah's at the tent door, got a little glass held up there by the tent door, right, trying to listen, hear what's going on outside. She hears this, that she's going to have a child, and she laughs. This is not the same kind of laughter that Abraham laughed with back in chapter 17. This is different. How do I know this is different? Because the Lord God Himself addresses it. She laughs at what she had heard, and she says, "Really? After all of these years, am I really going to have a kid?" And she laughs about it. And God says, "Hey, why did Sarah laugh?" Well, just in case you're curious, God knows everything, right? And Sarah goes, "Oh, I didn't laugh about that." He says, "Oh, but you did. Yeah, you did. I heard you." But nevertheless, because God is a faithful God, He kept His promise. And Sarah did have a son, whom we will read about, Lord willing, very shortly in the next couple of times that we're together looking at this book. You see, her laughter might have been a laughter of disbelief, but God assures her that as God, there is nothing that is impossible with Him. He can do all things. Now, the writer of Hebrews does tell us that Sarah really kind of understood what was going on, and her faith prevailed in the end as well. Hebrews 11:11 tells us that by faith, Sarah herself received the power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered Him faithful who had promised. So again, you see, it's not about anything other than the fact that Sarah said, "Okay, I will put my faith in You. I will put my faith in Your promise." And she received the power to conceive. Well, the end of our chapter together from here on out, starting in here as we see as the Lord gets ready to leave in verse number 16 of chapter 18. The rest of this chapter is very interesting to me. Very strange in a lot of cases. And, well, let's just talk about it. So the two angels are getting ready to leave. They're on a mission, right? They've come, they've stopped in to see Abraham, they've gotten a little bit of food, they've gotten some time to talk with Abraham to reiterate this promise, this everlasting covenant that's coming, and now they're gone about their business because really they were headed towards Sodom, Scripture tells us. And Abraham, like a good host, he walks them out to the car, so to speak, right? He goes with them as they start on their way to see them off, and it seems like we have just a little bit of an aside from God. Like a little bit of insight as to how God works here, just a little bit, because you'll notice with me here that in verse 17, it seems like the Lord is speaking to Himself. Because we see that He says, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have chosen him that he may command his children and his household after him, to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what He has promised him." So the Lord says, maybe Abraham needs to know about this. Now, there is good reason for Abraham to know about this, and the Lord's logic is a very sound logic. I'm promising Abraham that all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed through him. I'm promising Abraham that he's going to get a lot of prosperity. He's going to be well known. Maybe I shouldn't hide what I'm about to do from him. And so the Lord begins to talk with him. Notice what the Lord says. because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave, I will go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me. And if not, I will know it." Well, doesn't the Lord already know that? He already knows what's going on down there. And He already knows what's true and what's not true. So what I think the Lord is trying to do is I think the Lord is trying to withhold judgment for as long as He possibly can. We serve a very just and righteous God. And in so, He's very, very patient, because His Word says that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to know His Son as their Savior. So He's very patient, and He wants Abraham to know, look, I'm going down there. And our brother Jabe said this. Jabe said it was like he was looking behind every door and in every heart to see if there was anything, anything at all in Sodom and Gomorrah that he could salvage. It's going to give him one more chance. Going to go see what we can do about this. And then our buddy Abraham does something that I guarantee you, as I stand before you today, I don't think I could have done. Our buddy Abraham stands in the gap for these people. Now, if it were me, and we're just being honest with each other, if the Lord tells me, like He told Abraham, I'm about to go to Sodom because their sin is very great, their wickedness has risen up to me, and I'm about to just smoke them off the face of the earth, I'd have said, I'm on your side, God, you go do it. That would have been my response. Not our buddy Abraham. Our buddy Abraham stood, as we read that in verse 22. Look at that very carefully. So the men, the two angels, they turned from there and went toward Sodom, but Abraham still stood before the Lord. He stands tall. He stands his ground. And he steps up to the plate and he begins to talk with the God of the universe. And notice what he says to him. He says, if you're going to go down there, suppose that there are 50, verse 24 tells us, righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are in it? If there's just 50 people down there, just 50, are you going to kill those 50 to make your point over the rest of the city? And he doesn't just stop there. He says in verse 25, talking to God, Abraham says, far be it from you. You know, you shouldn't do such a thing to put the righteous to death with the wicked so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far, far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just? Can you imagine standing before the God of the universe and going, yeah, you wouldn't do that. Like, well, how do you know exactly what I would and I wouldn't do? Right back to why Abraham recognized him sitting outside of his tent. Abraham had spent time with his God. He knew Him. He understood the way that He works. He knew that He was a patient. He knew that He was a loving. He knew that He was a caring. He knew that He was a righteous but merciful God. And he says, you're not going to do that. You can't do that. That's not in your nature. And God says, well, okay, if I find 50 people there, we'll spare the city. Now, let's suppose for just half a second that Paul had enough nerve to do that the first time. There's no way Paul's going to keep talking. But Abraham does. Abraham says, what about 45? God says, okay. 45. Well, what about 30? Okay, sure, sure. 20? Yeah, yeah. And then Abraham says, this is the last time. I think Abraham knows he's pushing his limits a little bit. He says, this is the last time I'm going to say anything. What about 10? If there are 10 people in that city that are righteous, would you spare the whole city for 10 people? And God says, yeah, Abraham. In verse number 32, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. And the Lord went on His way, and He finished speaking with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. Abraham stood in the gap for a sinful and wicked city. And Abraham called God on his own promises. So we go, so what? Right? It's a great story, isn't it? It's an incredible story. Something to think about. Listen to what Joshua said in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. Joshua says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and be courageous? Do not be frightened and not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." If you know the Lord this morning as your Savior, be strong. Be courageous. Be bold. And now, you might think I'm talking about that in regards to being out and being a witness. And yes, that is true. To be out and to be a witness is a daunting task. Yesterday in the park is not my cup of tea. I get incredibly nervous. I am not good at those kind of things. My dad was not great at evangelism. My mother was fantastic. My mother would sit down with a total stranger and 5 minutes later know whether or not they were saved, and if they weren't, they got the gospel. That is not the way that I operate. It's not my gift. At least I don't think it is. But it's a necessary thing, because if you know the Lord Jesus, you're told to do those kind of things. You're told to go and make disciples. You're told to go and spread the gospel. And yes, that's true. Be courageous. Be strong. Be bold. But I'm not really speaking of that this morning. If you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior this morning, I want to encourage you to be strong, to be bold, to be courageous in prayer. I think it's a serious lacking thing of prayer of people in today's world. I wonder, personally, I wonder, did Abraham appreciate what he had? Did Abraham fully appreciate the fact that God himself came and sat down and had a meal with him and told him what he was going to do? Do you know how easy that would be for us? If God were to come and sit down on your lunch break and tell you, today at 3 o'clock, I am going to X, Y, and Z, that'd be really nice to know, wouldn't it? He's told you. Here it is. We've got it all written down for us. We know His plan. And not only do we know His plan, but we know His promise. If you know His promise, if you know His plan, and if you know Him, be an Abraham. Stand in the gap for somebody that you know. Stand in the gap for somebody that you love. Stand in the gap for somebody who needs God. We oftentimes pray for those that we know and those that we love that we are not sure whether or not they are saved. And that's an incredible thing. And we should absolutely 100% do that. But we pray in a manner like this, well, Lord, we pray that they would be saved. Why don't we pray things like, Lord, why don't you give me the opportunity to show them what your word says? Why don't you give me the boldness to do this? God, why don't you use somebody? Why don't you just save them? You have promised that your word is not going to go out void. Why don't you show that to me? So let me encourage you today to be bold in prayer. Let me encourage you today to be courageous in prayer. And let me finally encourage you to spend time, and I'll admit I don't spend nearly the time that I should, and I am going to do everything I can with the Lord's help to be better about it. Spend time in this book and be like Abraham. Know God. Know His promises. Call Him on His promises. He didn't get mad at Abraham. He didn't get mad at Abraham at all because Abraham knew what he was talking about. And Abraham knew his heart. You're not going to make God mad if you know His promises and you remind Him of it. He'll answer those prayers. So be bold in that. James wrote in James chapter 5 and verse 16, James says, "The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." And that's the truth. It was true for Abraham. If you know the Lord Jesus as your own, it's true for you as well. So let's be bold men and women when it comes to our prayer life. Father, we do thank you for the great and wonderful truths that we find in your word. We thank you that you are a loving God. We thank you that you are a patient God. We thank you that you are not willing that any should perish. And Father, we thank you that you are a God who answers prayer. We pray that you would help us to be a prayerful people, that you would help us to know you, to spend time studying in your word, to spend time around other believers who can encourage us, to spend time in prayer and to be listening to what you would have us to do. Help us to be bold in those things. Keep us now, we pray. Protect us as we go about our day at home, work, school, the things that you have for us in the coming week. We ask that you would guide and direct. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.